your bulletin's open to page 8, Gospel, right? Gospel of John, also known as the prologue to the Gospel, the beginning. I suppose you could say summarizes, but it's something different than summarizes. It points ahead to so many different things that are in the Gospel. Let me back up for a second. Yesterday, Tuesday, on the third Tuesdays of the month, a few of us, Karen Light and a few others, we go and have a worship service over at Gurney Meadows, just over here, especially for some of the seniors over there who can't get out as often, and so we have worship there once a month. And yesterday I was running late. I had to text Karen and say, I'll be a few minutes late. And I got there and I had to tell them that I was late because I had gotten lost in the library. And I didn't mean like lost, like I didn't know how to get back out the door. I was down at Trinity International University, where I often go because their library is wonderful. With their seminary down there, it's a wonderful place for me to go and to study and to look for books to help me study the scriptures. And I was just having a really great morning of looking for books and getting lost in thinking about lots of different things. And one of the greatest things about doing, anybody else just get lost looking at books in libraries? All right, some of you, good, thank you, May. You are very enthusiastic about that. Some of you are thinking, yes, I do, but I'm not going to admit it. But one of the greatest things to do is when you go and you're like looking for a specific book, and I found this book, but then you start reading all the other titles around it, especially if you're doing research or anything, but just any time. You just start reading titles and you're like, well, that sounds really interesting, and that's how you get lost in a book. And we can get lost, so to speak, in John's prologue. These opening 18 verses, which are poetic. They're not really written like a poem in our translation there, but they're very poetic. Parts of it are truly poem-like. And we can get lost in them, to read slowly. Because every sentence, every phrase could be another title on the shelf. And you think, oh, that phrase looks really interesting. And you could pull it down and just read it over and over again and try to contemplate what John is saying there. So the first thing I want to do tonight is to read it again, not because Dave didn't read it well, but because to read it again slowly. That's how poetry works. Poetry works by reading slowly. And with our Sunday theme of slow Advent, that seems in a very appropriate way to come to the Gospel of John. So let me read it again. And this time, you can follow along, or you could also just listen this time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through the light. He, John, was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. That book that I was looking for on the shelf called The Word by Adrian von Speyer, and it's from the 50s. And don't really know anything about her, but I came across this title because this little book is her meditation on just these 18 verses. She just writes about these 18 verses. It's very mystical and very meditative. It's just a slow reading and unpacking, not trying to explain it all, or it's not technical. It's just almost kind of a stream of consciousness of this is what God is opening up to us in these verses. It's this wonderful meditation, and some of it I don't understand, and yet it's amazing because it makes you slow down and to realize the beauty in these verses in the Gospel of John. It's translated, and the translator, I think it was written in French, the translator wrote this: "The meditations here by Adrian are concentrated. The writer never pauses or hesitates in revealing the sense of the text." In other words, every sentence has some kind of thing to unpack. Just like John's prologue here, every sentence has something to unpack. Her book, therefore, calls for a reader's undivided attention. And he says cooperation. I think that means because you got to kind of keep working with it. Read this hastily, and it will seem obscure. And taken in too large doses, will just leave you with a sense of confusion. But to anyone content to follow at their own speed, it offers a sustained and surely unique meditation on God and his people. He's describing Adrian von Speyer, but to me, that sounds like it's a description of the beginning of the Gospel of John. To anyone content to follow at their own speed, those opening verses offer a sustained and unique meditation on God and his people, on God sending his Son to save his people. So John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." To this, Adrian von Speyer, she just writes, beginning, origin, absolute beginning, source, alpha, utterly incomprehensible, intangible, colorless, timeless, forever beyond our grasp. It is that which always was, divine, fathomless, bottomless God. The beginning was ever reality. The origin was always being. His bottomless abyss was always light. The Word is not the beginning, it is the fulfillment. Essentially, the power to originate, to bring forth new beginnings. And it becomes the source and the beginning for us. What's all that mean? I don't know. But what does it mean that in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God, with God and the Word was God? I mean, what does that mean? It's a bunch of titles on the shelf to keep unpacking. But why keep unpacking? Because it's describing something that's beyond our grasp, isn't it? I mean, it is one thing to tell the Christmas story, and we come dangerously close to making it to be too easy or too much of a thing that we can grasp. You know, there's a man and a woman, and there's a baby, and there's sheep and donkeys. Donkeys come on Christmas Eve. And it seems like it's easy to grasp. We kind of start to get it. John shows up and says, this is all beyond our grasp. Do you see what's taken? I keep looking at the tree, just thinking about how that's just kind of this reminder. Do you see what's happening? It is beyond our grasp. This light has always been there. The Word has always been there. And now the Word is here. And now the Word we can hear. John is showing up with a poem, not to explain it all, not to get down to technical things, not to make it so that we can take it and prove something necessarily. John is showing up and beginning his gospel with this poem, a work of art to celebrate the birth of Jesus, to celebrate Jesus in a way that just draws us in. It draws us in like any other kind of thing that you might experience, of a sense of wonder, a sense of awe. It is beyond our grasp. That's the work of poetry. And that's the work of the beginning of the Gospel of John. Matthew's Gospel, Luke's Gospel, they do us well, right? They tell us what it means that Jesus was born. They tell us about how this came about. John shows up, though, and gives us something that we wouldn't otherwise have. John shows up and he gives us this poem, this wonder, this amazing thing. Verse 9. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Adrian von Speyer says, his word is not like the word of man, the word of people, that can be set aside and disregarded. The word of God sounds forth, even though no one listens. Kind of like that thing, right? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is there, does it still make a sound? If God speaks a word and no one is there and no one is listening, does it still make a sound? Yes. His word speaks forth. It creates. It brings forth life. And even when we weren't listening, even when we didn't receive him, his word speaks forth and works faith in us by his Holy Spirit. Whether we receive it or not, his word is creative. And once it is spoken, the effect follows. And his word is at work. That is the celebration in the Gospel of John. And some of you are thinking, just get to the point. That's the wrong thing with John. That's the wrong thing with poetry. It's the wrong thing with art. It's the wrong thing to sit in awe of a Christmas tree, right? If you sat there and just enjoyed the lights and the Christmas and just enjoyed it, and somebody ran up and said, well, what's the point? It's like, I don't know. I'm just in awe. And then you'd come up with phrases like, well, Jesus is the light of the world. The light no darkness can overcome. It's his glory. I don't know. I don't know what the point is. I just know this. And that's what it is with the Gospel of John. Read it as a poem. Read it slowly this week. Read it slowly on Christmas Eve. Read it slowly on Christmas Day. Because as it unpacks, you keep seeing more and more. And it's not about just proving some point. It's about you getting to see a glimpse of the eternal, a glimpse of the divine who has come into our midst. Just think of it. The Word became flesh. The thing beyond our grasp took on flesh. So that when the Word comes into you, you also have the divine Holy Spirit at work in your life.